Welcome to the Growing in Grace podcast, where you can listen in on some casual conversation about the good news of Jesus. It's time to discover the true freedom that comes with the gospel of unlimited and overflowing grace.
Thanks for tuning in to the Growing in Grace podcast. I'm Salt. He's Peppa. And we're in effect. But hey, we're not working up a sweat.
Stop.
You know why we're not working up a sweat? Because we're not under the law, but we're under grace.
And I have no regret. See, I can do it too.
We can keep it going.
Joel, I'm broadcasting from my blacklight studio, feeling groovy. Do you ever have a blacklight?
It's
like, you know, that was a big thing back in the 70s and 80s, I think.
Well, I was quite young in the 70s, but I had a brother who was a teenager. He's almost 12 years older than me. So he had all that groovy stuff. he had all the like Steve Miller records and Wings and all that stuff. And
Stop.
Yeah.
I won't want to talk about the Bible if you keep this up.
Well, it's cool. You know, I like, you know, and we'll get to whatever you were going to talk about, the groovy set. But I was a child, like I say, I was under 10 throughout most of the 70s. But my mom would let me listen to the radio at night. And so I would hear this song, I Love You, and talking about silly love song. I had no clue who Paul McCartney was. I had no clue who Wings were. I probably didn't even necessarily know who the Beatles were. But I loved that tune. And I would listen, I would wait, I wouldn't fall asleep until I would hear that song on the radio. And I loved it. And then I went, and then in '77, we moved to England. And that rock scene, you know, the 70s rock that we know as now classic rock, we would call it, there wasn't a lot of that over there. So I got really quickly into like British late 70s and early 80s pop. So that's how I was, my musical tastes were formed. And then it wasn't until many years later that they start, you know, I would hear the classic rock stuff on the radio. And that's, you know, not many years later, I suppose, but that's when I started getting into some of the older stuff too. So I came into it a little bit differently than you did, I suppose.
Yeah. The golden age. Yeah, I mean, the Beatles were a little before my time. I mean, I was, you know, really young when they were at their peak. So, you know, it's kind of like classic TV reruns. You know, they aired before you were really
right
able to watch them, but then they sort of become a fabric in your life, I guess. Whatever age you're at, you know, if you're picking up on reruns.
Yeah.
And so the Beatles were like ongoing reruns for me. But onward and upward, Joel, I wonder how many people listening right now are caught up, concerned, worried, wondering about the will of God for their life. How many have stopped to really think about that? I wonder what God's will is for me. And that, it could be something very generalized. It could be something more specific, like a job. Something that you're supposed to do as far as a calling in the ministry, could maybe a spouse, future spouse. There's all kinds of different things that can go through people's minds about. You even mentioned one time, I think more than once, that you had a friend who didn't even want to go eat at a restaurant until he sought the will of God
right
and where to go.
Yep.
So it can get pretty intense if you start getting down into, you know, the minutia of all that stuff. Should I get in my car and go to the store or not?
Yeah, and an old pastor we've talked about before that he said they were in a furniture store and they asked if they could go into a back room and pray about which, I don't know, table or whatever thing of furniture they were going to buy, because they wanted to make sure it was God's will.
I think that's something me and my wife need to do if we go furniture shopping. It's rough, man. It's really rough because it can take us months to try to figure out what we really like or what we want or what we want to spend. And so I don't want to belittle or make fun of seeking the will of God. I mean, maybe even in a, I guess even in a situation like that, where, but I, you know, yeah. I do, I have to, full disclosure here, I'm probably one of those people who has evolved into the place where, instead of seeking God in prayer on which couch to buy, I think I can almost hear God screaming in my ear from within saying, just pick out a couch, you know, sort of like, why are you bothering me with this? But not that God considers us bothering him, but it's just sort of like he's got to be laughing sometimes saying, I've given you the ability to make choices.
Right.
Here.
You got a brain and you can use it.
If you like that one, get that one. Ooh, you know, I can almost hear it from the burning bush, Joel. The will of God, though, so with all of that, it can get complicated, right? Especially when religion has stuck its nose into our lives and dices up these Bible verses and gets us thinking all kinds of different ways, which is sometimes the result of what we were just talking about. So let's look at something here in Colossians, because sometimes sometimes we just want to know everything there is to know, and I'm not sure it's always meant to be that way. You know, we talked recently about just being able to live your life. Of course, our life is hidden in God through Christ Jesus, and God gives us freedom in this life that we have in Christ. We can make choices. They can be good and bad choices sometimes, but he's there to lead and guide. And I think, you know, just rolling off real quick here, Joel, just rolling off something that we talked about last week between good and bad choices and sometimes making bad ones. And, you know, does grace get in the way of, you know, us going in the right direction? If you missed it, it was last week's program, growingingrace.org. I think the real key to success in all of this is understanding our identity in Christ. That was maybe one of the biggest things that you and I were working through in the earliest days of our grace lives, is coming to an understanding, a revelation, an embracing of the fact that God has not only forgiven us of sin, but that he has made us his righteousness. He has recreated us. We have a new heart. Those kinds of things. Once you begin to understand that, realize who you are, that you're not just a sinner saved by grace, but that you are holy and you've been perfected in him, then you can begin to live from that instead of trying to struggle and strive to resist temptation and try to be better and try to be more like Jesus. And then it just becomes all about your effort instead of what Jesus did on our behalf to make us who we are. The righteousness of God. So it's a gifted thing. But with the will of God, Joel, in Colossians, Paul is writing to these guys. And I'm kind of picking up here because he has an intro for the first 7, 8, 9 verses. But verse 9, Colossians 1, for this reason, so he's exhorting the Colossians here. And then he comes to this. He says, for this reason, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. That's Colossians 1:9. And so I remember being around a group of church people years ago, a particular, you can call it a denomination if that works better for you, or a specific ideology that I was attending that church for a while. And sometimes they would get off on these, like a lot of churches, they would get off on these little tangents. And so you can take a phrase like, we want you to be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. So they would take this and turn it into a great big thing within the Bible study that we were doing. And so now we got to figure out what you need to be filled with the knowledge of his will for your life. Figure it out. Kind of like what we were talking about a few minutes ago, and we're going to pray over you, and we're going to announce to you what the will of God is for you if God reveals it to us. I mean, all kinds of different things. And so then people start going through some of the struggles that they go through when it comes to figuring out God's will for their life. And yet Paul goes on to say some things here. He bounces off of that And he talks about how God has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. He has delivered us from the power of darkness, conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. And so he's going on about this after making that statement about the knowledge of his will. And then we come down further in the letter, the knowledge of his will. Keep that phrase in mind, because Paul, toward the end of this chapter in Colossians 1, he says, I became a minister according to the stewardship from God, which was given to me for you to fulfill the word of God. The mystery which has been hidden from ages and from generations, but now has been revealed to his saints, to them God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. So I feel, Joel, that even though there's some verses in between 9 and 26 here in Colossians 1, Paul is coming back to what he talked about earlier in the chapter. The mystery which had been hidden, the will of God for you, is Christ in you, the hope of glory. And by the way, more specifically, Christ in you Gentiles is what he's saying here. He's writing to Gentiles. Of course, it was also made available to Jews as well for those who would believe. But so sometimes, Joel, we want to get specifics on the will of God. And I think Paul here is talking about some generalities about the will of God simply being Christ in you.
Right. And a lot of times it's very helpful to have the context, you know, the background of what's going on here, because previously it had been understood by people that the people of God were the people of Israel and that Gentiles were excluded. And one of the big points in Colossians, and also if you know, Ephesians has a lot of this too, is that, well, it's not just Jews. It's not just the people of Israel. It's Gentiles as well. Everybody, whether a Jew or a Gentile, can be part of the body of Christ because God has desired that all, you know, would come to know him and have this inheritance. He's made it possible for Jews and Gentiles alike to have this inheritance, not just Israel anymore. And that was foretold in the Old Testament, but people didn't understand it. It still did remain this mystery that he talks about here in Colossians and in Ephesians. And the mystery was revealed to him, and like you're saying, that God's will, it was God's will that they understand this. That's what it was all about. I think that there are ways in which God has maybe a specific will. He starts off the epistle, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God. And so, yeah, there's that type of thing. But it's not like Paul went through this, oh God, what's your will for me? You know, it's just, you know, God revealed that to him, and whatever your part is in the body of Christ, it's not like it's some big, huge thing that you have to struggle and strain over. I mean, you just are who you are, and God, through his Spirit, reveals it to you. And but I think what you're getting at here, the much bigger picture, is that it's God's will for us that we're in Christ. That's God's will. And if you're in Christ, you've not fulfilled God's will, but God's will has been fulfilled in you because you are in Christ. And that's what the wonderful thing is. I think when we're living our days, day in and day out, kind of like what you were talking about, where people are, you know, just struggling and striving and praying over each other and trying to figure out God's specific will for you in each situation in life, or all these things. Yes, I think, you know, sometimes that can be a good thing, but people get really locked up in what has been called analysis paralysis. I don't know if you've ever been involved in, you know, where you don't know, you're trying to seek God and you're not getting answers, and you're analyzing every little thing, it came to my mind early in this podcast, in this episode, I was saying that we're not working up a sweat because we're under law and not under grace. I almost said it wrong, because we're under grace. We're not under law, but we're under grace. In the past, You know, I had heard in the church that your words are so powerful that you, whatever you speak, you got to be careful what you speak because that's going to come true. And so it would be like if I said, if I would slip up and say something wrong, like I'm under law and not under grace, I worried. I got so worried. And I didn't mean that. And I worried. I got so paralyzed with analyzing everything that I said. And the same can be true with trying to figure out God's quote will for your life. You can become so paralyzed with trying to figure it all out. Just rest, just relax. If you don't hear, you know, if say that you're in that kind of a mode where you're trying to figure something out in life and you don't hear an answer or perceive that the Lord is leading you in a certain direction, just you're free to make a choice. And if you don't know what to do, sure, ask him what his opinion is, what, you know, what he might think of this. Do research, weigh options. You know, like I said earlier, we've got a brain. He gave us a brain, and seek wisdom from other people. You know, sometimes you can get some good advice from other people. Sometimes you can get bad advice from other people. But overall, just know that you're in Christ and your life is in him. Like Cap was saying earlier, our life is in him. It's not like we're trying to figure out how to get that. We are already there. He's already made us a member of his body by his grace, not through anything that we've done, not by trying to figure out anything, but simply by belief. We believed him and we became part, and that was his will, that we became part of this body of Christ. And that's where the freedom is. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom, there is liberty, and that's where we are. We are living in his liberty. You don't have to struggle and strive to figure all of this stuff out.
Yeah, you know, I'm kind of reminded with our conversation here about the passage that says that God is willing for all to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. We were just talking about the mystery, the knowledge of God's will. The will of God for you ultimately is Jesus. I mean, he's the will of God. Remember Hebrews chapter 10. You know those old sacrifices that they did and they became a part of the law? We really see in Hebrews 10 that those were not something God desired. They were not something he willed to happen. Isn't that, to me, that's mind-blowing. Mm-hmm. Because when you think about the law and the covenant between the people of Israel and God, and how sacrifices were a big part of that to address the issue of sin, at least temporarily, God wasn't satisfied with that. He did not desire sacrifices. If you ask most people today, do you think it was the will of God for people to do animal sacrifices under the law? Most people would say yes, but Hebrews 10 tells us something differently.
Yeah.
And so Jesus came to do the will of God because he really was the will of God. You know, he takes away the first covenant that he may establish the second. And by that will, Hebrews 10:10, by that will, we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. And that it's just the book of Hebrews, and even here in chapter 10, it's just a story of contrasts between something old and ineffective versus something new and eternal. So I just mentioned that because, again, yes, that's not to suggest, as you mentioned, Joel, how Paul opened up the letter to the Colossians, an apostle by the will of God. So it's not to say that God doesn't will for certain things to happen or that he doesn't want certain things for you in your life. But, you know, Paul could have said no. Mm-hmm. Paul could have said, I don't want to do this.
Right.
This sounds too hard, sounds too difficult. I'm going to go home and watch the Flintstones. And which is kind of a mixed covenant thing, really, back then. The Flintstones would have been. You're talking about the ministry of stone versus this experience he just had. Anyway, aside from that, though, just because God wills for something to happen doesn't mean it's going to happen.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, it wasn't. I don't personally believe it was God's will for Adam and Eve to eat the fruit that he told them not to eat. Mm-hmm. But it happened, right?
Yeah. We have choices. We have freedom. You know, some people say free will. I like the phrase freedom of choice. We have freedom of choice. We do have brains. We can make decisions, and we can sometimes, well, all the time, our decisions will have consequences. You know, God can be leading us and guiding us in a certain way, or maybe he has, like we're talking about, you know, like Paul said, I'm an apostle by God's will. I'm this by God, by the will of God. And like you said, Paul could have said no. Maybe God's calling you to do something, or you feel something inside you, you understand that that's God. And you can go along with that. You're free to go along with that. You're also free to not do that. You're not condemned. You're still righteous. You're still holy. You're still his. You still belong to him. The things that would have happened by going along with that won't happen anymore, but that doesn't thwart God's will at all, really. It doesn't, you know, he can make rocks and stones cry out. He can. You know, he can use a donkey to talk when, you know, somebody isn't going along with whatever he wants them to do. There's no condemnation. It's just you get the freedom. You know, Paul, I think, you know, Paul said, woe to me if I don't preach the gospel. And it wasn't a, you know, God's going to condemn me. I'm going to be lost in eternity if I don't do this. But he felt compelled to do it because of the good things that would come out of it. But if he would have said no, God's will in getting the gospel out still would have happened. It just wouldn't have been through Paul. And so all that to say, we're free to make decisions and we're free to make choices. And we just remember that there are consequences that come along with that. But there's always acceptance by God. There's always freedom in him. And he never leaves us. And he never condemns.
This has been Growing in Grace with Mike Kapler and Joel Brzezicki. Access past programs by visiting growingingrace.org. Share it with a friend and listen again next week for more Growing in Grace.